Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, welcome, we're back, hello!
What a head toss, Abby!
Oh, yes. Gotta keep the energy up!
Push the rage down! Energy up!
Energy up!
Energy up!
Tiredness, exhaustion, and down!
It's been a day. I'm happy to lock myself in the basement with some friends.
Yay, it's been so long, too. We're overdue. Sorry, everyone.
Yes, we're overdue.
This, like, well, we did it last summer, too. Shit happens in the summer.
Guess what? Shit happens.
How long has it been?
We are almost a month. I think we're one behind. We're a week behind.
But we'd also pre-recorded a bunch before.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute
since we've been consistently
in it. Well, fall is coming and hopefully we can, you know,
get our shit together.
Maybe.
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. Well, hopefully we won't be leaving town as much, right? Because we'll all be hiding in our homes.
Because it'll be raining. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And I'll be so happy. I'll be wearing flannel and pants. It's going to be great.
It's going to be good. You guys, we're the Fashion Hags. We didn't say that. We're the Fashion Hags.
No, episode 69.
Bam, 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 bam.
It's a good time. And what an episode to have a special extra guest. Special extra guest? Extra special guest.
Yeah. Both at the same time.
They both work. Victoria Welsby.
Specialist extra guest up in here.
Fam Pow Life.
Yes, that's your website and your program and your...
It's all about me.
Your thing.
Yeah. So you're away for a little bit. Now you're coming back with an incredible episode, which features me. We're talking about me and nothing else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Fantastic. I heard of Victoria through a local speaking group. Like, they go with lecturers and things for the feminist inclined people in the world and in Vancouver. And I heard Victoria do a talk preparing for your TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. We'll plug that and we'll link to that.
Yeah, that'll be up there.
TEDx talk. You did that in the spring? February or March somewhere?
It was in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It was 18 minutes of your life.
Oh, for sure.
I watched it back when you did it.
Yeah.
And then I just watched it like 2 or 3 days ago.
Amazing.
Refresh.
Was it because you got to see my titties at the end?
Well, that didn't hurt.
Have you not seen it with the titties? Okay, good. She flops those tits out.
Beautiful velvet dress, and then the dress disappears.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Well, it's a very awesome TED Talk. We recommend it. Like I said, we will link to it, and we will hook people up with all your particulars.
All the
online particulars.
Fempo Life is the first thing you need to know.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. It's mantra. You say it to yourself. Bam, pow. Good time.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with the name?
Well, it started with Bam Pow Job because I was in corporate recruitment and it was just like, Bam Pow, just fucking get a job. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
People
just
like,
do
it's
it.
So hard. And I was like, it's not. Then it turned into Bam
Pow. Let me help
Life.
You. Give me a money. Let me help you.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, just do it. Just, you know, no big deal.
So it's a good, it. Yeah, it's good rules to live by.
Yeah. Bam just Pow. Fucking no big deal. Wow. That was it. Like, wow.
Fantastic. Straight up. Awesome.
I like it a lot. What's to live by?
Well, we got lots to catch up on.
Yeah, I went on a vacation.
So you went away.
You guys.
And you didn't even get burned to a crisp by all the thousands of wildfires that are happening. So that's good.
No, I didn't see a fire, but we also didn't see the sun or any mountains or rivers or beautiful lakes or anything. So
which was the point of
the worst week to go on vacation. But we had a really great time. We had just done the van conversion. I got a van, put a bed in the back, put a whole kitchen situation. It's the greatest.
Mm.
So it was just me and my husband. It's the first time we have been on a vacation, just he and I, since we got married. That didn't involve like...
So a year and a half almost.
Yeah, a year and a half.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Tell us.
We started with a wedding in Whistler, which was a wild event. It was so fun. And then we basically wanted to do a dip trip where... Our dip list, this is, our podcast listeners will probably hopefully know this, but a dip count is when you list all the different places that you can dip into a lake, basically go for a swim in a lake, ocean, wherever. And it's location based.
It's a natural body of water. Pools don't count.
Pools don't count. It's a natural body of
water.
Bathtubs
don't count.
Bathtubs do not count.
Bidets don't count.
If it's a real fancy bathroom in a real fancy house somewhere.
What about kids' pool, which is saltwater fed?
No.
No. Half dip. Half dip. Half point.
I mean, if you're desperate for a dip, I'll give you it. But
the other thing is right there.
You can also make your own rules for this. So that might work for your dip list. It does not work for mine.
There you go. Okay. Good to know.
Very strict, very
yeah. Authentic. It's a BAMPOW life kind of list. So
yes, you got it, girl.
So we wanted to basically up our dip count. So we wanted to get like 10. So we just, you know, followed the road and where the
river
smoke was
or whatever,
and wasn't.
Sure.
We're like, well, if we want to see stuff, we should go in this direction. And the smoke is really bad in this direction because the whole world is on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's getting better now, but it was really, really bad. So we ended up basically traversing the entire province of BC, looking for mountains and rivers and lakes and finding some really good ones. But we didn't stay anywhere more than one night because it was the smoke was really bad. I'm like, well, this is nice, but like you can't really see and it's sort of getting worse. So let's keep
moving.
On.
Yeah.
And we ended up going across like through Yoho, which is like sort of.
It's a third of the way up.
I think it's actually a Cree word. I don't know what it means, but
damn it.
it sounds made up, but it's not.
Someone made it up.
Someone made it up at some point.
So anyway, so we go through and so Yoho sort of spits out between Lake Louise and like Banffish, like in that neighborhood by the rock when you get into Alberta. And by the time we got there, we went up to Takaka Falls, which is like one of the highest waterfalls in the country, I think. It's absolutely beautiful. Went up there and it was like, I think it was a Friday, it might have been a Thursday night in the summer. Couldn't find a camping spot at one place. And the closer you get to the national parks, like forget it.
Sure, the worst. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your odds. We were like, ew, this isn't great.
Not great.
So we ended up, and the smoke was so bad. And the point was, we were going to try and go to Canmore. And then there's a stretch of road by the Spray Lakes in Canmore, which is this amazing, beautiful stretch of road that my husband has been down for work. And it's like peak after majestic mountain peak after majestic, just like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, let's do that. That was the initial plan. You can't see a goddamn thing. You can't see across the highway.
Yeah.
So we're like, forget it. We're not going to go, you know, even farther out of the way to get home, to not see anything, to then be really far away
to come back.
To also not see anything.
Yeah.
So we ended up going north instead, coming up from Lake Louise, going north instead. I called my friend Alicia, who lives in Jasper, tried to get a hold of my sister and my mom because I wanted to surprise my mom. I was like, hey, guess what? We're here kind of a thing.
We're 20 minutes down the road.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so my friend Alicia's like, they're all camping. Everybody's camping. You got to go find them. So she's pumped. So I'm like, this is great. Like, we'll go and find them on the way. And we didn't end up getting there in time to see them at night because they would have gone to bed. There's two kids and my niece and nephew would have gone to bed and it was getting dark. And so anyway, so we found a campsite on the way, had a nice little meal, got up in the morning, like early in the morning, and then went and met up with my parents. Didn't tell them. They had no idea.
Just my sister didn't. Around a tree. Hi.
We drove through the campground and I knew exactly where they were because we had camped there before. So we drove through the campground. And so my husband, like, we get up and we can see them where they have a little teardrop trailer that my dad mentioned when he was on the podcast last time. And so they had this whole thing set up and whatever. And so we just rolled down the window and we're like, he's like, hey, ask her for directions. And I was like, hey, lady, which way to Jasper? And my mom is like making pancakes, like in her little campground kitchen. She's like, oh my God. So everyone comes out. My dad runs out. He thinks someone's been hit by a car because like we're there.
Everyone's freaking out.
The kids are running and everyone. She's like, I think someone's been murdered. Like this crazy couple has come in and murdered someone in their van. And I'm like, no, it's us. Like, we're just surprised. We're here for breakfast. Anyway, it was hilarious. And then we had a really nice visit just for the night with my folks and upped our dip count at home.
There you go.
Did some laundry and had a proper shower and that kind of stuff. So
that's good.
And then
hang out with the fam
through, and it was great. It was really fun. I mean, it would have been great to have seen more.
Sure.
But we went places that I've never been. We went to a couple places that I had been before, and it was great. It was just like No one can call me. My phone is turned off. Huh. No Instagram.
As long as you got gas in the van, there's nothing stopping you.
You had a big old thing of Bailey's instead of milk for coffee in the morning. So Every day started out right.
This is why I love Canada. Like being able to dip. In England, if I try to go dip in places, I'd be dipping in lakes with like shopping trolleys and used condoms. Like, no one want to be dipping in England.
We have those here too, as well.
Yeah, it's called False Creek.
But yeah, you can avoid them pretty easily.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Good to know.
Add the dip into my life.
Yeah, there
Add
you
that
go.
Dip count. Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun way to like, I don't know where we're going to go. Let's find a place for a dip. It's a good excuse to
a
like,
good reason
get out.
And a goal. And a goal. Know? You're not just going to wander aimlessly, which has. You know, it's perks, but, you know.
But aren't you worried there's going to be something like, I don't know, in the water that you don't know about?
See, that's me. I don't know.
Right? Like, I'm always like, because I listen to loads of crime podcasts, I'm always like, there's probably going to be some dead body here. Do you not think that? Or is that just me? Am I weird? What's going on?
She likes it.
Yeah.
She's into it.
Oh, ooh, ooh.
You creepy girl.
I'm a creep.
She's a bona fide creep.
I'm a bona fide true crime lover.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Get on that train.
But I'm the dipping is like not my concern.
You love it. Yeah.
I'm way more concerned if we're talking about creeps and dead bodies. I'm way more concerned about like. You know, getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Because you think that someone's going to be hiding being like, I can't wait for her to go and do a poo because I'm going to murder her.
Well, you just never know what's out there.
Someone scaled your building to the 12th floor.
No, from camping, when we're camping.
From camping.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
they just come into your tent someone and murder pops out of you the bush.
I don't sleep in a tent, I sleep in the van. And all those doors fucking locked.
You're goddamn right, those
there
doors
There you go,
locked.
You'd hear that person coming over.
Oh, yes. Out. Yeah, so someone you're worried about a dedicated murderer who's like on your poo schedule, like
who's on
or
it.
Just like in the dark, like at night. I mean that if my mind
Some
was going to go
woods.
That way, at campground I'm not usually that worried about. Sure. Backcountry stuff is a little bit different. I don't know. It doesn't really occur
your animal instincts
me.
Kick in and you're just like got to be on alert.
Yeah, it doesn't. I feel also. 10 times safer in the van than in a tent. I don't
sleep
in tents.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I go to sleep in tents. I do not get sleep
to
accomplished.
Sleep. Yes.
Yeah. I do not accomplish sleep when I sleep.
There's
in
no
tents.
REM cycle.
No.
Oh.
But yeah,
well,
no,
I'm happy your trip worked because we
Thank
knew
you
were leaving. I was seeing all the stories on the news about how the whole place is on fire.
The whole world is burning.
Ew.
We really made the most of it. We really just had a nice
right
time.
In the middle of it, because like from California up into Washington and then Vancouver and then all the way towards Alberta, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah,
and it was the worst week of the summer that we could have gone to go. But
oh boy, we got out of the city. The city was fucking gross.
The city was gross and hot and sweaty and weird
and smoky and disgusting.
At least if you're on a dip count,
like
you can
we
dip
spent the time inside.
Yeah,
like we were just inside all the time because it was fucking
so
hot
sad.
And it was so gross.
Yeah. And smells and
it stinks and it hurt my eyes and Anyway,
so what's new with you, Evan? What's happening with you? You just got off a train.
I just got off a train. I just came back from the burbs. I went to stay with my friend Rita and her beautiful family home. It's more of like an estate, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
And just did some work there. I'm making a gown for an actress for the Toronto Film Festival.
Exciting. Oh, that's coming up then.
Yeah. So it's next week.
Mm-hmm.
But the fabric I needed was not anywhere in Vancouver.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was like,
that's a
particular like brand of knit.
Yeah, that you know you want that will do the job.
That was the one I needed in the particular shade.
Ain't gonna happen.
That I wanted.
When did
wasn't
you?
Anywhere, but it was in Coquitlam, I think.
Interesting.
No, Abbotsford.
One of the birds. Oh, for fuck's sake. Wait.
Fabricland in Abbotsford.
Oh,
had a
crying
bolt
out
of
loud.
It in their like,
random,
in their random
whatever.
Piles of shit that they have
Great.
Sticking around.
Well, good for you for track. Good for them for tracking it down.
I was like,
Abbotsford,
am I just going to go?
For the uninitiated, Abbotsford is like the farm community outside of your city.
Yeah,
like outside of the suburbs.
Outside of the suburbs,
like beyond
of the
suburbs.
Outside of
it's
your
like
city.
It's like it's that like buffer between like real country living and then the city
and then like suburbs. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's on that weird cusp.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, thank God you found. So you schlepped all the way out to Abbotsford.
And I was like, am I going to go all the way out there on like the train and then just come
back?
An
hour or whatever, yeah.
Like, no, I'll just go there, use Rita's studio, which is like four
Beautiful.
Times the size of mine. And it's stunning. And all the mannequins are there, like all the machinery. So I just went
Rita's
and stayed
a lifesaver.
Rita saved my goddamn life. this dress would not have would not be in existence.
Did you get it done?
No. No.
Well, thanks,
but,
you know,
but like,
that's not
Rita also helped me. Abnormal. So like now,
well, hey man, you're further along than
I'm
you would
further
have been.
Along than I was. And I would have been fucked if I hadn't, she hadn't found that fabric. Because she went out and like looked at the place for
God
me.
Damn it, Rita.
Yeah.
What She's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. So is it black?
No.
Oh!
No, it's not black.
Interesting. I guess what happens when you make things for other people that they might make you make something not black.
It's like a...
Is it gray?
It's like a hybrid of two gowns that I did last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the pictures on the red carpet.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a Saturday premiere, so it's a big premiere at the main theater.
Big time stuff.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Yeah, and I also just turned 26. No problem.
Oh, yeah, happy
birthday. Damn it, my typewriter is still broken. I'm
When was your birthday?
The 22nd of August.
Oh.
Yeah. So then I went to, I did a little dip. I went to Lynn Canyon, did a
dip
in the glacier. Stream. I don't know if it's like a, I'd consider it a stream, not more than a river, where like those, the, it's like the 30 foot drop is with like the waterfall and everything.
In the canyon.
Yeah. Went there.
That's a magical place.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
It's not full
chilled.
Of dickheads.
No, exactly. It is usually.
That's why you gotta go inland.
You gotta go further up because it's full of dickheads.
To avoid those dickheads.
You don't go to like the pool where they still do cannonballs off of the, things, even though people like 300 people have died there.
Yeah,
like
it's fine.
Crashing into the rocks.
It's fine. Yeah. It's cool.
And it's also like,
hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not gonna happen to me.
No.
And it hasn't been raining, so all of the water levels
so
are way low.
Yeah.
Great.
So,
well, that's the, you know,
that's the douchebag way.
Yeah.
It's the, what do they call them? The
that's how you
evolution.
Thin the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how you thin their herd. Survival of the fittest.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Maybe I'm next because I couldn't think of that. Oh,
well, you don't even go into natural bodies of water.
I
so
went
you
into
alone.
A lake this year.
Yes.
I did one lake.
That's good.
But you didn't, your feet didn't
and
touch
I was
the
not
bottom.
Relaxed the whole time I was
Why
in there.
Why do you not go into bodies of water?
Because it's gross.
She's a pool girl.
I'm a pool girl.
Yeah, but pool is full of piss.
There's dirt.
Pool is full of piss.
But it's also full of chemicals to neutralize the piss. There's no fish and plants and fucking gross
and
dirt
muck.
And soft bottoms you sink into and things that might poke you.
Yeah.
It's the unknown.
I should say,
it's the unknown.
Yeah. On our dips,
I don't care for it.
We...
But it was so hot. I was like,
you got to. You don't want to wade through anything for
and
a
it
dip.
Was
if you have a dock dip is like primo. That's
and I stay at the surface. I like lay down and like float on the surface. I'm not like putting
it's
my feet
not
down.
Comfortable.
In case the shark bites your feet, right?
Totally. A little fish come by my bum.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Oh man, but it was lovely and it was refreshing.
Has there ever in your life been an encounter with critters in the water that is like
no.
terrorized you?
But like gross plant, like
yeah, like
muck.
Algae and
yeah, muck is not good.
Gross. And you don't see it coming. That's the thing too. You don't see it coming.
You gotta get a dock. A dock dip is the best kind of
thing. I only like to swim in like ocean clear, like Caribbean water.
Yeah.
Like,
where you can see the bottom.
Where there's for sure shark.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see him coming. I'm a strong swimmer. I'm just a pansy. Big wuss.
Yeah, that's all that's up with me. Just living life.
There
exhausted.
Classic Evan.
Yeah, nothing new, but there'll be exciting things to share in the coming weeks.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I get those pictures.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Take the picture.
That's a little clue as to how what the gown looks like.
Oh.
If you get that reference.
Oh, interesting.
I don't get it.
No.
It's like
funny face, Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I don't get it.
Big surprise. Big surprise. Evan is, loves and is influenced
Take
by an Audrey Hepburn
movie. Abby, what's up with you?
Speaking of going to see a picture, I went and saw the McQueen documentary on Tuesday night.
Devastating.
There's a good word. Inspiring and devastating all at the same time. I found out it was playing. Dave told me it was playing here at a local theater at one of the, like, it was over at the park on Cambie, one of the single screen old-timey mom-and-pop theaters.
I love that theater.
It's a good one. I hadn't been in, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 years.
It's a great theater.
But I went and I didn't have dinner before, and I was like, I'll just go and figure it out. The movie was at 9, so I had something. The kids go to bed at 7, so I was fucking off after that. And then I realized that just down the street is the really nice ice cream place. And it was Tuesday, and they have Taco Tuesday, where they make a taco out of a waffle cone and they fill it with ice cream.
Wait, what is this place?
So that is what I had for dinner.
Rain or Shine?
Rain or Shine, yeah. Ice cream. So they make like a hard shell taco shape out of a waffle cone and then 2 scoops of peanut butter ice cream with hot fudge sauce. Wow. I always get the peanut butter with hot fudge. That's my go-to. I know they have a million other flavors and they switch them up and they're so fancy. Peanut butter and hot fudge. Can't go wrong. And then whipped cream. And then that was my dinner. So that was great.
Yes.
I met a very cute dog, also a Wheaton Terrier. So that was very fun too. And then I, yeah.
How's the movie?
Going to the movie. First of all, going to the movie by yourself is amazing.
I fucking love it.
I love it so much.
I haven't done it in years.
It's so great. And I do like, I love going to like a big theater because you can like buy your ticket at a machine, bring your own snacks, walk into the theater. I don't talk to anybody. I don't look at any. Yeah,
like the most interaction you have is the guy who rips the tickets down.
And he gets like a smile or a nod, like not even a word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just gets like a little tip of the hat. Thank you, sir. And then I go.
Like an old cowboy. Yeah.
And then I go and sit down. So I did actually have to talk to somebody. I had to talk to the lovely lady at the counter about my ticket. Mind you, I probably didn't even need to. I just go one and then I flash my debit card and just like not actually have to say anything.
Did you buy any popcorn though?
No, because I ate all that fucking ice cream.
What? Made a mistake.
I know, I smelled it, but it was so, there was no room for that. But it was great. I sat right at the front because I knew I probably was going to cry. I'm just going to have some privacy and sit at the front.
Hang on. Isn't your neck going to be like...
It wasn't too bad. I was like three rows back.
Okay, true. Okay,
and there's a bit of a buffer between the front row and the screen. Like, it's not like the big theaters where you're really like...
I was like, you've gone mad.
You're looking behind you, essentially, right?
You've gone mad.
No, it was totally fine.
And I would think if I was going to cry, which is every single movie I've ever seen in my life, I cry because I'm a... I don't know.
There you go.
I'm a glass case of emotion.
You're tenderhearted.
I'm tenderhearted, yeah. But I would think my logic, like your logic is that you go to the front so no one can see you. My logic would be I would go to the very back.
So everyone's looking forward.
So that everyone, because everyone is looking forward. And when everyone gets up to leave, they don't look back towards you. They just leave out. You don't have to look at anyone in the face. That would be
logic. My logic is they can't see my face because first of all I'm like super slouched down and with my feet up,
right?
So I roll. And then they can't see me, and then I can't see them.
Yeah,
like it is a personal movie experience. There was nobody in front of me. There was no one in my row. I could hear like paper or whatever wrappers behind me, but it was just me and Alexander McQueen.
What if someone
came
and sat in front of you? Would you then move in front of them because you had three rows ahead of you?
I'd probably move over at least in my row over.
Okay. So I'm just clarifying.
Kick them in.
Oh, for sure. And then like for sure curse them in my mind. Yeah.
A pox
on you. Absolutely. But the movie was fantastic. It was so wonderful to see on the big screen because his stuff is so intense. And the shows themselves are so intense. And there's such a comprehensive experience, right? Being around them and, I've been watching them on my phone or in a magazine or, like, on my computer for years, right? So to see them on the big screen was, it was very emotional. I absolutely cried at the end when they talk about his death. And,
I think it's playing again tonight. Maybe I'll go tonight. We're going to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, it's playing just like 2 showings tonight, I think.
Yeah, maybe I'll go.
But it was fantastic. And so, so sad.
He's just so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure no other real way. Just it's a league of his own.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's nobody like him. And he even says he didn't want his house to continue after he died. But
oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. He just thinks he is his brand. So how would the brand continue? But every single show is so personal to his brain and his experience and the space he inhabits in the universe. Like it's so, so specific to him that he just said it was some interview. I think in the early 2000s, he was talking about what would happen. Would you want somebody? Oh, it was when he started to work for Givenchy in 1997, he took over a house for somebody else. And they said, would you want somebody to take over your house? because it's pretty established by then and only getting bigger, because all the money he earned from Givenchy, he just then gave to his own line and beefed it up. And he said, no, I don't think it would happen, but.
They're like, fuck it, let's make some more money.
Yeah, let's do it. And the lady running it now was his right-hand lady for years and years and years and years and years and years.
I was surprised they didn't interview her.
There was a lot of people who declined to be involved.
I imagine.
Right?
Yeah.
I was listening to, there was a Business of Fashion interview with the two guys who made it. I'm totally spacing on their names. It was like one French guy and one British guy.
Is it a
guy.
New one?
Maybe like a month old. Mm. I forget what it was called. Something, but I think in the title it had the McQueen documentary in it.
Yeah.
But they were just talking about how they, you know, it happened. He died like 8 years ago, but it's still...
It's fresh.
Still so fresh for so many people. I mean, there's so many people in the movie talking about it and they're getting super choked up, obviously, and still super emotional about it because there hasn't been that much time. Or I don't know if you ever get over stuff like that, right? So I can understand people not wanting to be involved, but his sister was there and they had a whole bunch of his home videos included in it. And an old, like Jeannie Becker was in it doing a bunch of interviews and, you know, people from prominent companies and magazines and stuff all talking about it and then him. So, because they all had he was such a weirdo and such an intense person that he would just draw everybody in that, you know, he didn't come off unscathed or untouched in some way, be it positive or negative.
Unscathed or untouched.
Yeah. By your interactions with him, because he was such an intense person. Personality and persona, and you know, so anyway, it was great. I recommend it. It was a good time by yourself, and I saw by myself. Yes. Oh my goodness.
So, Victoria, what's going on with you?
Let's catch up. What happened to you now? And then we can talk to more general, like, what's up?
So, what's going on?
How's your summer been?
Oh, I've been working loads and I've been wrapping up my book.
That's launching soon, hey?
Yes, it's coming out September 10th. And I'm just rereading it for the 50 billionth time and still spotting like minor errors. And I'm like, fuck's sake. I'm like going like, so I'm super excited about that. It's called Fierce Fatty. So yeah, it's about me being a fierce fatty, basically.
There you go. Sweet.
Yeah. So that's it.
Is it essays or?
It's like it's kind of a mix between autobiography, This Is My Life, from being homeless at 17, being in an abusive relationship, being sad and all that sort of stuff. And thinking the reason why I deserved it all was because I have a fat body. And then realizing... Bitch, no. And then turning it all around to becoming like a total queen right now. Fantastic. And so, and then if anyone is in that spot where they're like, oh my God, I have a fat body, clearly I'm disgusting. I basically say, no, bitch, it's all good. And this is how you can feel better about yourself. And that's it. Yeah. So kind of self-helpy. Autobiography.
Inspirational. Yeah. Aspirational.
So you read it and then you'll be like, fuck yeah.
Bam, bam.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. That's well, excellent. The point of our podcast here is that we for years being, what do we call it? What do we call it? What were we called? Hollywood? No, Hollywood. Fashion non-experts.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Hollywood Reporter?
Yeah. No, it was Elle.
It was someone else who gave us...
Was it Hollywood Reporter? No, it was Elle.
No, it was Elle. They mishyphenated us, but that's fine. Yeah, so we are not... We are fashion non-experts.
The industry insider, but non-experts.
Non-experts.
But anyway, one of the reasons why we wanted to start this podcast is to make fashion accessible to people who feel left out because it's such a niche and it's so esoteric and it's very exclusive by design.
And exclusionary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just because you don't fit into that world, that price point, that physical location in the world, that level of education, whatever, all this bullshit, all these trappings that society has put on it, you still love clothes and you still want to look cute. And that is what our podcast is trying to do. And I feel like that's something that your philosophy kind of fits into. It's like, fuck everything. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? What do you need to do to make yourself feel powerful and positive and move forward in the world? So I thought, I know you don't necessarily specifically talk a lot about clothes and the fashion industry, but I bet it comes up in your how it works and, you know, wrapping your brain around your worth and your looks and how those things are combined but not dependent on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And how clothes you
can feel one way in one thing mm-hmm. and feel completely the opposite in something completely different, or shopping or buying store, like, I mean, all of it. It's a multi-layered event every time.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But yeah.
And it's, and it, we all know that fat people only ever want to wear a muumuu.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of like for fat people.
Going, and if it's got like glitter or like sequins on it too.
Yeah, of course. And so it, as a fat person, shopping is kind of traumatic because you go to the shopping center, we should say here, mall. You go to the mall and, bitch, you ain't buying nothing.
No, there's, you're coming out empty-handed.
That will fit. Like, for me, I'm like a smaller fat. I'm a small, medium fat. And that's a technical term. And so I'm a size like 20, 18, 20. If I go to like Metro Town,
forget it.
Just a big, yeah.
No. There's nothing in there.
No. And so imagine if someone like, okay, so Will Smith has called me up and he's like, baby, you need to come to this red carpet event with me tomorrow night. Get your dress on. It's going to be amazing. There's no way I can go and find a dress that would fit me, like, ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd just be wearing my
muumuu. But what about your closet full of muumuus?
Yeah, my muumuu. So I'm just going to like jazz up a muumuu.
Call it Evan. Should put some glitter on it. Pull an all-nighter.
There you go. Call it Evan. Put up an all-nighter. I'll drive to Abbotsford to get some fabric for you.
If need be. If need be.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, Will Smith does have me on speed dial, so.
It's good. Yeah.
You keep your options open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not an easy, it's not an easy thing for even anyone who's a, maybe a size 10 and up.
I'm a 14 and I find I'm having a hard time.
Yeah. And you were in the majority, like 67% of women are size 14 and up.
Yeah.
And the market only caters, like 18% of the market caters for 14 plus.
Yeah.
That's fucked, man.
Gross. Yeah, that is gross.
And it's like plus size women spend more money. Like the plus size market is growing way more than the straight size market. And so like fat people, they've got money and they're like, please
take it.
Take my money. Yeah.
Give me like, something good in return.
Yeah, man, like we're rich bitches. We just want to like throw
with
our
good
dollar
taste
bills.
And like, yeah.
So
there's been a kind of a movement in the last few years with people becoming vocal about these disparities and these deficiencies and these voids in the market. But unfortunately,
the market's not listening.
No, nothing's happening yet.
Yeah. Well, some. So
there has been some movement, but it's still super frustrating.
It is, yeah. So whenever some brands have started making plus size, so came out recently, J. Crew expanding into plus size.
Their jeans apparently go up to like a 37 waist now.
Could be
better, but you know.
Yeah. But when a lot of times when companies do expand to plus size, it's not, they don't do it very well because fat bodies are kind of a little bit different from straight size bodies. Mm. And so they're just like, just make it bigger. And then a fat person puts it on, they're like, oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
You end up with a muumuu.
Yeah.
You, fucking muumuus.
You need a, there's a thing in fashion called a fit model. And that's how they base their sizes. They have like a base size when they build their patterns for all their styles. And usually it's a small. Like usually it's the,
six,
classic,
whatever
size, small, height, 5'6", 5'7", you know, 33-inch bust, maybe 34, 28 waist, maybe. Like it's a, it's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Their fit standards, because it's based on a quote unquote average. No, it's not.
It's based on some weird arbitrary numbers.
What's going to look good on a model in a photo shoot is what it is.
Yeah.
But when you move into plus size, they just make that bigger.
Yeah.
Which is not that's not a human thing.
No.
Humans don't have bodies or like physics.
Three-dimensional beings. People have bellies and shit, right?
Yeah.
And
some do and some don't. Some people have a butt and some people have no boobs and, you know.
Yeah.
Some people carry it in their shoulders. Some people carry it in their waist. Some carry it like wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just like, that's how you end up with all the muumuus, like you said.
Exactly. Another thing is that a lot of times when people make clothes for fat people, they're like, oh, fat people, they're so ashamed of their body and they definitely want to look thinner. They don't want no crop tops. They don't want no hot pants.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch, give me that fucking shit. Like, I want to show off my belly and my bum hole, basically.
Give me those short shorts.
Right? And so, but then like the fashion designer's like, they smock down to the ankle.
High neck, long sleeve.
Yep. Amish. Yep. 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 And you know, that's fine if that's what you want. But then if that's the only thing that they have to offer, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, like.
And God forbid you'd throw a trendy item.
Seriously.
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, fatties.
No.
Yeah. So if there's anyone listening who's thinking, maybe I should design for some fat people, like, yes, because we've got money. So much money. We're like, so rich. I'm so rich. So please make some clothes for us.
So thanks. Where do you shop? Where are your go-to spot?
Okay, so I'm British, if you haven't noticed.
Get out.
I know. I've been hiding my accent. So when I go back to the UK, I buy as much clothes as I can fit into my suitcase. So I go empty suitcase. I buy all my clothes and shoes. Everything. One, the UK, I think, is a little bit more fashion forward in regards to Canadian style, I think, sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just British and I just prefer British style. Anyway, and there's more fast fashion in the UK.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the UK or online exclusively. And that sucks balls because you buy something online.
For said reasons previously stated.
Right? You know? Like, who knows? You buy something and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be so amazing. And then, you get it on and you're just like, what the fuck is this shit? And then, yeah. Anyway. So
what brand specifically, like if you have listeners who are like, oh, tell me where, because I can't go to a fucking Topshop again in my life.
Okay.
Tell
so I have a membership site, and in my membership site, I have a list of hundreds of stores that do plus size. But some of my favorites are Prem, Universal Standard, and Eloqui. So they're all kind of like...
Okay. I haven't heard of Prem, but I've heard of the other
Prem
two.
Prem is it's a newer one. It was launched...
P-R-E-M?
P-R-E-M-M-E.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like... Yeah. So it's like super... fashion forward with like pops of color, and it's just like it's made by
it's
two
just cute clothes for cute,
yeah
people.
It's just like normal normal
like
shit.
Normal human cute clothes.
yeah So they're my go-to places. They are a little bit more pricey, so not very pricey, but I don't know, say one, you know, a dress might be $120.
Okay.
But for the cheaper shit, ASOS Curve is really good.
I've heard really good things about ASOS
Curve.
They
get fun stuff.
Yes. And if you go up to 3X and you want cheaper, then Forever 21 for cheaper stuff.
I didn't know they did.
Well, they just brought, I'll tell you what, they just bought into Metro Town, the local mall.
Yeah.
A plus size section, and I was literally like, shut the fuck up,
because they had her in H&M for a little bit and then it disappeared,
right? So in H&M you can only buy the fat clothes online because I don't want to see the fatties in store.
It's like Old Navy, no fatties in the store playing.
Right.
Yeah, you can only buy them online.
Yeah, like but yeah,
great.
Forever 21 has a plus section.
It's so gross. Why is H&M so gross?
Because they can afford to be. Because they're a monster and they can afford
to
be.
Well, they shut 250 stores last year. Bye.
Yeah. They're having a bit of a comeuppance recently. They've had some PR bumps in the road, too.
Oh, really? Like, what have they been doing?
Just a couple.
Yeah, well, there was the... there was some guy. What was the story? There was some guy who put his foot in his mouth. Fuck, I forget what it was. And then there was another story about...
the graffiti guy, Revoke, the whole graffiti thing.
That whole thing. And then the little black kid put in the shirt that said something about
something
the jungle.
About a monkey.
And about a monkey in the jungle.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, of all the kid models, when you're shooting whatever for your web store, whatever, for your promotions, nobody thought that this
like,
was problematic.
Like, just completely tone deaf.
You got seven other kids standing there.
Switch
on one of the shirts. I mean, come on.
Some people are dumb, right?
Some people are dumb and oblivious.
Dumb as
and
shit.
Ignorant and both.
Well, maybe if they had hired some fatties to make some clothes and also sold the clothes to fatties, then they wouldn't be, tanking the store. So, comeuppance to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like the people who work in the fashion industry, it's problematic there, too, because you look at all these big companies and there's no diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I wonder how many
because that
designers
would absolutely affect.
Yeah.
First of all, getting white straight dudes to design clothes for women.
Yeah, right?
Never. Right.
Yes, you've done good work, but there's more to the world than that.
Yes, you're an artiste. We all get it.
I mean, but look at all the brands like Rag & Bone and everything, and like their sizes are fucking awful. Like, you hold up a pair of jeans and it's just like...
I can fit half a foot in it.
Fit like the stem of that guitar in that. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is that? you know, and it's
don't
like,
you know, women like they're made like they're tiny, teeny tiny,
they're teeny, tiny, teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny,
bird bones.
It was like, it's like they took a 6X and just extended it 3 feet.
Yeah. Like it would fit my 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should, and just like made it for someone who's 5'6".
Yeah.
There should be an HR department that makes sure that the people who are designing clothes say for fatties, your word. Yes. I don't know which words are the right ones, but
perfect. It's a perfect one. Fatties.
Great.
Yep. Good.
A line for fatties should be designed by someone who fits those clothes.
No, like, outrageous.
That, no. Not going to happen.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'll see myself out.
Lost your mind.
Why is that so difficult? Like, why? Like, I feel like the plus size section, quote unquote plus size section, which is what it usually gets called in marketing terms,
yeah.
Just becomes like an offshoot. It's not paid secondary any real thing. Mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like less so even than kids, probably. No offense, kids, but it's a different thing.
You're
a potato. It's not you hard are to dress
tube.
You.
Yeah. You have a tube with a neck hole and 2 armholes.
Yeah.
And it's just a body.
As long as it's washable, someone's going to wear it.
If I can put it in the dryer, we're going to provide it.
But there's obviously a little more to it on the plus size section of things. So like, it just makes sense, like, economically speaking, aside from the, you know, the we don't like fatties thing, fine, you're an idiot and you're an asshole, fine. But like economically speaking, like you're saying, you all have money to spend. Why wouldn't you want that part of your business to be successful?
It blows my mind that the people who are in charge of these things, I don't know, like on principle, just saying, fuck the fatties. Mm-hmm. I don't want your money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it is. And it is. It's like deeply.
No, I don't want it. I'm actively working against that from happening and making myself richer in the process. Mm-hmm. I would rather be poor and have my, or less successful and have my clothes on a size 2.
Yeah.
Than be very successful and inclusionary and what, and I don't know. It blows my mind. That's the decision that has kept being made again and again and again.
It's rampant, deeply entrenched fat phobia. Like there's a deep, deep, like you're saying, like people would shoot themselves in the foot rather than see a fatty wearing.
Well, they're literally ignoring, like you said, 67, I think, percent of the market. They're just like, no, we don't want it.
No thanks.
It's crazy.
That's how like fat phobic people are. And it's like, remember, I don't know if you do, like Abercrombie and Fitch, like a few years ago, were like, we will never make clothes for fatties because we don't want them to be seen.
We don't want that label on their bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, What is that wrong with your brain?
The gall. The gall that takes to just say that.
Can you imagine? Like, I'm stupid.
It is crazy.
I hate fashion sometimes, man.
I know.
It's the worst. It really is the worst.
And the other
keeping
thing.
Keeping systems of oppression in place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other thing is when clothing companies do make clothes for fatties, they will then pick models who have an hourglass shape and they make them wear shapewear to make sure that they're
For sure.
Sucked in.
So like, you got the boob, but the waist and the hips, right?
And like it's a perpetuating another beauty ideal, which is not based in reality. One of my friends, she's a model and they would always like, you have to wear shapewear. And she was just like, I really don't like it. And so she said, okay, I'm not going to wear shapewear anymore. And she was dropped by everyone.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Like,
that's too bad.
No one would touch her because they were like, oh, that, you have a, oh, get that shit away. Like, get rid of that Betty. But
she's a model.
Yeah, like, this is like,
crying out loud.
And anyway, so she put her, you know, she put, this is like her statement, I'm not going to be wearing shapewear anymore. And eventually, now she's picking up more stuff again because the businesses who are like, fuck yeah, that's what we want. We want to see your big belly like hanging over
it. Stretch marks or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and so she's getting, now she's aligned with more brands who are, you know, actually body positive, not like.
Oh, and it must feel so much better for her to work for those brands than for people who are like, sure, wear this skin tight thing that looks horrible and is not human.
Yeah. But now the amount of hate that she gets on her Instagram, people being like, oh, you should have been wearing some Spanx with that. We can see like your belly button.
Guys, everyone,
like,
do better. Just fuck off. Keep it to yourself.
Right?
For Christ's sake.
Oh, man. Well, when I was listening to your TED Talk, and you talked about how you just tried to get rid of all these messages that you were getting all over the place with these fucked up standards and people to look at who just subconsciously and consciously telling you that you were less than, and you tried to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a super powerful thing to do. I have tried to do that since I'm the biggest I've ever been, and trying to be cool with it,
mm-hmm.
and accept it, and trying mm-hmm. to drown out that message or ignore it completely as much as you can, which is super difficult because
mm-hmm.
it will never completely disappear, at least not in the next, in my lifetime probably. But like you said, I think that was a very powerful thing to say, to find these Instagram accounts or magazines or movies or ad campaigns where you see somebody with a body that is not the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
can also, I think on that note,
and see value in it and see beauty in it mm-hmm. and see,
And when you don't see it, you can speak
and
up.
And that's fine too. Yeah.
You can speak up about it. If you don't see that thing, especially if you work in an industry like fashion, where there's actual decisions that are being made within that industry that affect this directly.
Yeah.
It happens in every industry, obviously. But with things like this, where your friend who's the model who just said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore, and people started to listen to that. You can do that. Anyone can do that. You don't have to be fat or tall or skinny or whatever to say, where's the fatties? Where's the colored people? Where's the trans people? Where's the whatever? Because we're not seeing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone can say
and
that.
And brands are starting, the transparency is becoming so important for people, and that input from the customer. Before, you'd write a letter and it would disappear into the ether.
Yeah. Mm.
You'd get a bee in your bonnet about something, and you write a letter to somebody complaining about your experience and how terrible it was, and you would get some form letter back, if anything. Whereas now you fucking tweet them.
Yeah.
They will tweet you. They see you. Yeah. Everyone sees them tweet you back, and they see you. Somebody else sees you. Cause this thing, you're standing up for you're not, I'm yelling at you about something, but I'm actually backing up the people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change your mind because you're an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got your head up your ass. But the other people seeing somebody speak up and giving them the.
Yeah. It's not a private conversation anymore.
Yeah. Having it out in the open like that, as we've seen on multiple fronts, is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it just needs, I think it's needs to translate into that like you said, that fat phobic. It's coming with diversity. It's coming with LGBTQ stuff. It's coming with women stuff. It's coming with children, with poverty levels.
Mm-hmm.
That part of discrimination and oppression against people of different body types, that one needs to be chipped away at a little bit more. There's a lot more room for growth there.
Mm. And with the fat thing, with other areas that someone could be marginalized, people can be a little bit more kind of like, oh, well, it's not their fault. Whereas with fat people, they're like,
oh, for sure. You do this to yourself, right?
Yeah, you're guzzling lard milkshakes, obviously.
Yes.
So, guess what? Milkshakes are delicious, just for the record.
Lard milkshakes, even better.
It's not the cause of the problem, but milkshakes are delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also not a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And you mentioning about getting in your Instagram feed, different images and stuff. One day I was doing some online shopping in the plus section, obviously, after months of filling my feed with images of different body types, not just fat people, but all sorts of different types of people. And when I was online shopping, I clicked on the next page and the page went to straight size models. And for a moment, my brain was like, does not compute. I don't understand what I'm looking at. I thought the page had stretched or something.
Oh, sure.
And I was just like, huh? And then
refresh?
I was like, yeah, oh my God, this is a straight size model. But my brain wasn't automatically, that is beauty. It was that's a different thing. And so now.
Well, that's awesome that the brain, because we've been trained the opposite.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that.
Oh,
you can course correct.
You can change your neural pathways. Our brains are so plastic. And so now when I see fat bodies, instead of all the things that I used to think, oh, God, I think, oh, wow, that's so visually stimulating.
Yes, that is
so
interesting to look at.
And so when I see a campaigner, it's just thin white young women. I'm just boring.
Next.
I
forget what brand it was. It was some big brand. Oh, Aerie?
Mm.
I don't know if we even have Aerie up here in Canada, but
it's American Eagle.
Yeah,
right?
It's American Eagle, but they make really
the
cute underwear and stuff,
Yeah.
And I know a lot of American people I know love it. They make the best bralettes, apparently.
Mm.
But they had a bunch of people of a bunch of different sizes and colors in the web store for their underwear. And it made me like the clothes more.
Right?
Of course. Like, I'm like, this looks cute.
Yeah.
This is really pretty. Like, I found, like, I paid more attention to the clothing.
Yes, when you see it on a different body size. Person.
And you can imagine it on you, right?
Yeah.
Like,
because this lady's got saggy boobs.
Yeah.
You're like, saggy, probably had a couple kids.
Yeah. I can see cellulite. It's amazing.
There you
Give
go.
Me some of that shit.
And she looks awesome. And this is a very cute bra. I like the lace here. I like the way it fits underneath. The armholes are deep. Whatever. Like, whatever it was. I found myself paying more attention to what the actual clothing was. Because it's so easy just to be like, oh, this doesn't apply. This doesn't apply.
Yeah.
This won't work. And it just, you filter it out because it just doesn't apply to you.
I find myself dismissing stuff like that. Like today, for example, we were at work. We were talking about, you know, reaching out to a brand or a customer, whatever, for a wholesale opportunity, whatever. So we're looking through the website to like look at, you know, what their brands are, who's on there,
their vibe is. Yeah.
And it was just like pencil thin white woman with like maybe 22, 23 years old with long hair, straight.
No offense, Victoria.
How dare you?
But it was just that image after next. And I was like, this does not apply to me.
Yeah.
Like, it got so boring so fast. Like, I just was like, I'm done. I get so tired of that so quick now, especially online.
Like, it shuts down.
When you can't, and they talk about this with representation in film quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's becoming a big thing now, which is fantastic.
Sure. Right.
But it's like, if you can't see yourself in the media that you're consuming, you're not going to care about it. You're not going to receive the message.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the message. You're not going to want to seek it out or feel about it. Mm-hmm. Feel anything.
Mm-hmm. Or engage with other people about it afterwards or something. Like, you're going to see this ad campaign for whatever, and your brain is going to disregard it, and you're never going to, but you know, you see
something.
And you
might not even know what you're missing.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
You're not even doing it consciously, right?
Yeah.
But if you see something that does impact you or you can connect with on some level, whatever it is, you're going to tell your friend about it the next day, and then you're going to have a whole other conversation, and that enriches your life and interactions with other humans. And
mm-hmm. Like, for example,
getting all metaphysical and stuff here now.
What's that? Oh, Crazy Rich Asians, this new film that's out. That's like
all these discussions and awesome things that have come out of it.
Yeah, people, you know, in the Asian community online are like, I literally have never seen anything like, I've never seen someone that looks like me or my family represented in a film like this in my entire life.
Yeah, like an Asian man film? As a heartthrob.
Yeah,
never seen it. They're always like the kung fu star or the comedian.
Sidekick or whatever. Yeah.
And there was all of the tons and tons and tons of messages.
The Joy Luck Club was the last big Hollywood movie that had like Asian people talking to other Asian people about like Asian people stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like the Bechdel test, but for like Asian people.
Yeah, right? As soon as you know about the Bechdel test, it's like every movie is ruined forever.
I did it to my dad. Why? My dad learned about it now, and he's like, well, this doesn't qualify. This failed.
Yeah.
This failed on second and third level.
Yep. Every fucking thing. You're like, I really like that.
It's like the Matrix. You can't unsee it once you know it's there.
Yeah, I know. It sucks balls.
And it sucks, but it's also very liberating.
Yeah.
Because you can just be like, fuck all this.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I'm moving on with my life and concentrating on the things and looking for the things that are meaningful and impactful and interesting and different and cool and, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool, too, like we were talking about images and stuff. The thing that's cool, it's sort of a love-hate with Instagram because Instagram perpetuates a lot of crap and bullshit and stereotypes.
Consumerism and vanity.
But because it is an individual-generated thing, it's not like one company controls what everything is being seen. Everyone uploads their own shit and regrams it and blah, 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 shares these images. So there are lots of ways that you can seek that out. Like you're saying, like you can find those
accounts, those accounts that are
really, you know, inclusive and are, you know, fatties feeling fabulous and looking amazing and wearing different clothes and looking, you know, doing cool shit and whatever. You can, there's ways that you can find that, and that's becoming more in a visual way for people to see it and experience it,
and cool. Surround themselves with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before there weren't pictures like that. You didn't see them.
Or they're out there on the internet, but how do you find them?
Yeah. Like it'd be some weird sub-niche, like
some Reddit weird Reddit thing. Form or something. Like, I don't want to go too deep on Reddit.
And then it'd be like super creepy with like perverts being like,
show me your feet.
Yeah.
Can you touch the microphone with your foot?
Has anyone said that to you? Like, touch the microphone with your foot?
No. Just like the foot fetish and the ASMR fetish. Like
just like commingling.
Coming together.
Aww. Maybe a new side business for you.
Hey, yeah. I got 2 feet and a bunch of microphones, so.
Money's better.
$20 on a pedicure. Let's do it.
Oh, no, they like it dirty. Like, you don't need a pedicure.
Oh, my God. I'm going to run around the backyard then for a little bit.
You know what? Hey. Do one nice and keep the other one scuzzy.
Yeah. Diversity and fit.
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. There's a market out there for it.
So I can't believe it, but we're already like,
oh my goodness, we're coming up to the end of this segment here.
We got to ask you for the name of your book. We got to plug that again because it's coming out in like 2 weeks. Our timing is perfect for this.
Fierce Fatty, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Like a pre-sale
stuff?
Situation. Is it available for pre-sale?
When's this going to come out?
Next Wednesday, probably.
Oh, okay. No, you can't get pre-sale, but...
You can keep your eyes open for it.
Just...
We'll set up your Instagram and stuff, too, and you'll be announcing it then.
Actually, on my website, I have a link for those who sign up for this link for my book. On the day of a release, you get a free copy. But you have to be on the my email list.
Ooh, I was going to say, because your website is awesome, and there's lots of programs and vlogs and, you know, newsletters and stuff that you got going
on.
To surround yourself and your brain and your body
with more me.
Awesomeness.
And who wouldn't want more me?
I know.
No one. Everyone.
And your Instagram is Bampow Life.
Yes.
And it's definitely worth a follow.
Yes.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
Good time.
Oh, yeah. Lots of stories and shit. And just come follow me. Stalk me online. Be a creepo. Be a weirdo.
Yeah, the TED Talk. We'll definitely put a link up to your TED Talk.
Yeah.
Very, very well done, I should
say.
Thank you. I can't imagine that was an easy thing to prepare for or
execute.
I mean, it must have been
the talking or the
all of it,
removing of clothes.
The both, like, you know, getting it, like, even writing a thing like that can be tricky.
Talk unassisted for 18 minutes or whatever.
I know. Who can remember something for 18 minutes?
Nothing.
That is the part that impresses me the most,
right?
Yeah.
I had prepared for it for like 18 months, so, you know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that's good.
Dialed.
I'm a bad dancer, and I was just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to embrace being a bad dancer. And so when I was at
working
the end,
into a move.
I was just like, I'm just going to dance like a twat, who cares? I'm not going to have any like moves. And you can see it definitely when in the video, because I'm just like,
but that's what everybody dances like that.
Right. And so I was just like, whatever. I almost had a clothing malfunction actually, because backstage I was getting my hair and makeup, and then we were having such a fun time with hair and makeup, and we were just laughing and stuff, and they're like, and the next person on, and I was like, fuck, it's me. And so I had to like run, you have to run down the backside of the side of the stage, and I had to be mic'd up, but with my bikini on, and so I couldn't get dressed
beforehand. Until you had that done.
And so I got mic'd up, and then I'm like putting my dress on, and anyway, I did a double knot in the fucking thing.
We had a wrap dress on,
did a double knot, and so when I was trying to take my clothes off on stage, it got stuck, and I was like, fuck!
Oh no!
And you can see in my eyes for a second, I'm just like, get this fucking thing off! And then it got stuck on my mic pad, my mic thing at the back. And I'm just like, oh, God, I've never wanted to get my clothes off ever in front of 2,600 people more. Like,
right.
Like, oh, thank God. Yeah.
So, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so watch for that moment of terror in my eyeballs.
There you go. It's real life, man.
Yeah.
Real life. She's a real life person. And shit happens.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
I feel like we hit like the tiniest fraction of what we could talk about. So we'll probably have to have you back on at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can just be my friend as well.
That's also
okay.
Fine.
That's what I was really hoping. It's the best hanging out with your friends in the basin, isn't it?
That's the whole reason we do this.
Yeah.
That's why we started this podcast.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to regroup.
And complain every couple of weeks.
We're going to go off mic so you can complain about stuff that we don't want you guys to hear
exactly,
about.
Exactly, it's inclusive.
And then we'll come back and share some other things.
Maybe we have a Patreon, we'll put.
There you go. Ooh, yeah, we'll spill some tea on the Patreon.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Obsessions.
Who wants to start? I'll start. Go for it.
Who wants to stop me?
Me? Everyone hesitated for a third of a second, and I jumped at the opportunity. Mine is real dumb, real silly.
Love it.
I love the podcast, Retail Nightmares.
Yes.
Former guest, Alicia Tobin, hysterical. Jessica Delisle, so funny. So weird.
Pure delight.
Delight.
All of us have been on it. Go listen to our episodes.
Yes. That's right. It's so funny. Yeah. I don't think Alicia will mind. This is my obsession. On their episode with Sophie Buttle, number 158, there is a burp right off the top.
The burps, yes. I fully like snorted in the car and did a big like,
so many times. I almost crashed the car getting my husband to listen to it because I was laughing so hard. I'm just going to play it because
you gotta line
Alicia,
up.
I hope you are okay with this. I you will
she put out in the universe.
Jay Arner is a musical genius. He produces our podcast and he does all the edits. He's there, Dave.
Yes.
This is what he has come up with. Beautiful. I'm just going to play it.
Yes.
Just catching it up at the end. I'm laughing already.
Welcome to Retail Nightmares Podcast. My name is Alicia Tobin. I'm here with my co-host Jessica Delisle. Gosh, she burped really loudly before, but then couldn't do it again.
Jay put the loud burp in here and burp. Like remix it into like a summer EDM jam, please. Thank you.
Vogue, Vogue, Vogue.
It's so it just keeps going.
It's a full 8-minute track. They're playing it in Ibiza right now.
This is my summer jam.
Who has the acid?
Oh my god.
Hi, it's very hot in Vancouver.
Beautiful.
Oh my god, I'm crying. It is
oh
so
my
good.
God.
I could not keep it to myself.
I heard Beyonce was going to sample that in her new
album. Yes. Yeah. Oh my god. It's Beyonce featuring Burp.
Oh, yeah. So hot.
Featuring Burp and Belch.
It, I don't know how many times I've listened to that in the last 2 weeks, however, since the episode came out.
Yeah, there you go.
1,000, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to, like, I don't know how, I almost, like, I did try this, and I had this little app years ago about how to make make your own ringtones.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So I was like, I gotta make this how do I do it? And then I deleted the app, and then I couldn't figure it out, and I was, like, getting in the car. And
call Jay,
like,
I'll make one for you.
I want it. It's so
Dave, make a ringtone for it.
Dumb and delightful. Jay Arner, you're a genius.
Oh.
Jessica Delisle, you're so weird and hilarious. Alicia, hilarious. I just love it. It's the best. Anyway, that is it. That is my, I've been gone for like 3 weeks. That's all I've done. <It's>
the best. Fantastic.
You're welcome, everybody.
Oh, well, that's one of the drawbacks of having a big break in the recording is because you can have multiple obsessions lined up.
Yeah, I have a couple stacked up.
Yeah.
I have a few
well,
stacked up.
Well, share. Do tell.
The one that has been most pervasive is this Netflix series called Dark Tourist.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So binged it. Watched it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of it.
I've seen it, but I haven't.
You both will absolutely fucking
really?
Love it.
Really?
Yeah. You like the crime stuff? Then
oh, yeah.
Like this.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm a little bored with that.
Okay.
So it's this dude from New Zealand who I just found out yesterday is homosexual, so I love
no
even more.
Really? I was like, oh, I'm quite yeah attracted to him. Mm-hmm. He's gay.
Well, sexuality is a spectrum, so who
yeah
knows?
Yeah. You like yeah what you like. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And you get
I
get, you
get, I get a lady boner when I see Cameron Michaels on Drag, and I'm like, you are yes a straight up gay dude, and I'm into it.
Cameron Michaels.
Huh. Yeah.
Who's really?
Anyway,
the Butch one. Yeah. Butch Queen. Butch Queen.
Yeah.
Many times in drags.
Yes. Many yes muscles, many tattoos.
Yeah. But
not usually my style, but hey, man. Hey, man, lady.
In drag or when he's like undragging, de-dragging?
When he's de-dragged.
Okay, de-dragged. Okay, yes. I understand. Okay, okay.
Anyway.
Okay, can
love it.
Yeah.
That
was Dark Tourist. That wasn't that up on me, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your favorite episode?
I'm just still reeling over Abby's revelation of
Cameron Michaels.
Dark Tourist. It's this dude from New Zealand. He travels all around the world to different locations and goes to like the scary, spooky, like kind of dangerous or places that are misunderstood in the world.
Interesting.
Is it like a doc?
It's a docuseries.
Oh.
Yeah. So the first one I watched was one on Africa. I was like, okay, I'm going to like, this white guy is going to go to Africa and I'm going to see how he handles that.
Yeah,
and if
he
does
goes
if he does well in Africa, maybe I'll watch the one in Mexico and the one in They do two in the U.S.
We'll pursue it.
Because the U.S. is fucked up, obviously.
There's a lot of meat on that
bone. A lot of meat on that bone. But he started off and was like very, like that one, the one from Africa was like, it was very well done and really true to the history of the continent. And he looked at like this spectrum from like voodooism, and he met with a voodoo, like two different schools of voodoo, and then moved on to South Africa, to Johannesburg, and like went to the, I guess he called them like shanty towns, and then he learned that that's like not the proper
Soweto.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called it. Yeah, like the big,
like the big
area of town.
Big areas, yeah. And apparently like the they townships. Are the townships, yes, yeah.
That's the word.
That's the proper word. And went and kind of like demystified the townships a little bit and like met the people who live there and went on a tour and then goes to like the super freaky shit in South Africa, which is like all of like the white people who are from South Africa who think that like there's going to be like an uprising of black people in South Africa and they're going to murder all the white people.
And they're going to kill all the white
people. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, it's like a literal like some religious
helter-skelter bullshit.
Yeah.
This is like, what are they like?
They're called the Friedlanders.
The preppers, like
doomsday preppers. Style? Yeah. These people live under the threat that they think that they think that
imminent.
As they're speaking that the uprising could happen. They're prepared every single moment. They're so high stressed, high tensity.
Fuck. Can you imagine operating in that level of life all the time?
Yeah.
It's so not my vibe.
Mm-hmm. It's just like,
no, I'm like, yes, like being very reductionary with this, but totally not my vibe.
Yeah. They're just like,
chill, you guys.
Sit back, man. Relax.
So have a like, nice tea.
Like these Friedlander people, their whole doctrine is like, it's about this prophecy that someone made after apartheid.
Great.
Ended.
Okay, so we're starting off with a great but there's fucking prophecy involved.
It's like,
awesome.
It's like a sect of Catholicism that like branched off after
and then
apartheid
just developed
ended.
Developed its own freaky thing. So it's a cult, is what
so
you're
saying.
So
it's a cult. Yeah, and these people think, like, it's this, apparently this guy had a prophecy saying that like one family would like lead the people to safety. From like this black uprising in Africa, in South Africa.
Okay. Yep. Sounds. Yeah. That tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and he's in their house, in their compound.
Is it Charles Manson that they're talking about?
This is some straight up.
This is a Manson.
They live
shit.
Underground, yeah. Like waiting for the black revolution. To
no, they live in like a like this gorgeous like mansion compound, but everything is made to be like taken. Like all the plants are like in transportable things. You can bring like
so they
all
can run if they need to.
Oh, like what if we get somewhere and there's no kale?
Oh, God.
So we need to bring our own lettuce.
Sure.
So we need to bring all this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he like, they have all these like animals and shit running around. He's like, what would you do with the animals? Would the animals come? And the mom's like, no, I would shoot them.
She would rather shoot them.
I'd rather shoot them than just have them leave, left behind to like, they. She's like, oh, to let them do whatever they would do to them.
Good Lord.
And Jesus. The whole time, like he's there for like 2 days and the whole time he's like, who do you mean? She's like, them, those people. And then they were like doing,
intense.
Oh, they're doing this like this drill of like how they're gonna evacuate, and they do it like once a week. And
what?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. It's fucked up.
This is some straight up doomsday shit.
Yeah,
cripes.
And he's like, "Oh, who's coming for you?" And she's like, "The blacks." Finally, after like 2 days,
she said the word.
She said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man,
yeah. Is that your favorite episode?
Oh, no, I think the one.
And you've seen these, right?
This is the only episode I haven't seen because they started killing animals and I was like, nope, can't watch it.
Yeah, not into it.
Yeah. And so I'm going to skip all that and watch the end because that sounds really interesting.
The voodoo, they kill like a lot of birds and
sure,
stuff.
Chickens.
Yeah, they sacrifice a couple doves. And
voodoo is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I really like the one where they were going to nuclear.
That one was my favorite.
Yeah. They'd go into
the
like
whole town.
Nuclear dead zones or whatever.
Like in the States or in
no, in Kazakhstan.
And there was one where they went to, it was one in Japan, right?
In Japan, yeah.
Interesting.
And they had the Geiger meters. And it's
the one in Japan, they went to the forest where people commit suicide.
Of course, yes. Yes, that makes sense.
And then they go to the nuclear sites. And then there was one more thing that they did.
Interesting.
I can't remember.
But this guy does a good job of like...
Sometimes. I mean,
he's kind of like Lou Through, isn't he? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But not as charming.
Interesting.
As who?
Louis Theroux. He's like a travel.
Oh, God, you need to watch his documentary.
The Scientology documentary is fantastic.
Just YouTube.
He's a British
Louis
dude.
Theroux. Yeah.
And he's like a little bit of a jerk.
I like that in a British man.
But, like, gets results, you know? Like, yeah. Gets his...
He acts innocent, right? He's like, oh, so... And then he'll, like, ask really invasive questions, being like, oh, I'm a bit confused what you mean about, like, you're, like, having sex with children. And just let the person, like, what does that mean?
Hang their own hall. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
That is my favorite.
So awkward.
Although it gets a bit painful after a while. The so LEG awkward. Style yeah. of interviewing.
Oh, yeah.
The Sacha
yeah,
Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, well, you know.
Highly recommend.
Sounds good. How many episodes? Eight or something?
Yeah.
Sure.
Go to Japan. The stands, one of them is called like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, yeah. Uzbekistan.
There's some weird shit happening there.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Oh,
that.
And they go to North Korea as well.
And they go to North
Korea.
He goes, yeah, he goes to the border, yeah, of North Korea. Yeah.
It reminds me of Lore, go the into podcast it. Lore a little bit. Sounds like same.
Lore, yeah.
Same, it's less like very different.
It's less like mythology and more like real things that human beings have done to one another.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, it's so good.
I'll try it out.
And the first 15 minutes of the one in Africa is just like twist the knife in your heart. It's just so, it's just beautiful.
Dark tourist.
Interesting.
The dark tourist or just dark tourist?
Dark tourist.
All right.
And dark tourism is like a thing apparently. Like
it is?
Like, it's like a whole industry I around bet. The world.
There's a bunch of weirdos looking for weirdos.
So most of the stuff he does is he takes tours.
So like, they're already existing.
So he takes he took a tour with someone in
I guess there's like ghost
Dallas
tours and shit.
Sure.
Of like the root of JFK's assassination.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Interesting.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank Evan for one of my obsessions, which was One Day at a Time.
Oh, cute.
Oh, what is yeah. this?
A Netflix show.
What is
about,
this?
About, it's, there was a show in the 80s called One Day at a Time, and they've remade it now with a bunch of Cuban-Americans. It was just a bunch of white people before, and now it's a bunch of Cuban-Americans. A single mom, her mom, who's played by Rita Moreno.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking fantastic. She's so great. And then her two kids and their other characters in their life. And my husband walked in on me 5 days in a row. Fully crying watching the show because it's like schlocky and cheesy and it's like a sitcom.
It's like a laugh track
with
yeah.
like a live audience and stuff, but it's super heartfelt. It's super genuine. It's funny. Like I laughed out loud too at some point. Like there's literally one time where like I'm fully crying and then they crack a joke and I'm also laughing like at the same time. But and I think there's mm-hmm. two seasons and they each have like 12 episodes or something,
mm-hmm.
and they're like maybe 40 minutes each, and I just fucking plowed through all of them. Everybody's so great. The acting is awesome. The kids are charming. They talk about real issues about immigration and gay stuff and being a kid and generational stuff and just very authentic, very cool. Thank you for that.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah,
ooh.
All on Netflix.
It's a Netflix
fantastic.
Series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
But my other obsession that I have to connect Katie for is I am not. Necessarily a true crime person, but I read.
Ooh, I know what you're gonna say.
I read I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is the Golden State Killer book by Michelle McNamara, which was fantastic. And then listened to a bunch of my favorite murders about that because I do. I love the vibe of my favorite murder. I love the hosts. I think they're very entertaining. I think they're very funny.
But it's a conversation.
Content. The yeah. conversation is great, but the content I find I can't do. It's just a lot. It's very heavy, especially there's kids stuff too, and it gets all weird. And so I've listened to maybe 3 or 4 episodes, but now I've listened to like a bunch of the ones where they just talked about the Golden State Killer.
And listened to the one with Paul Holes.
Yes,
ooh.
Where he shows it was very entertaining.
So good.
#HotForHoles. and
Paul Holes is a detective who basically pulled us all together, and he, among many many other people, but yes. he's a guy who like made it happen essentially.
And I've been working on it the most recently in the last
years,
10 years yeah. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I went on Wikipedia, like rabbit hole, about the real killer and the guy they found because they just arrested him a few months ago and that whole thing. And so that's been interesting, trying to figure out that thing. And then I also started watching Killing Eve.
Oh, I have not started watching it, but
holy
it's been recommended.
Shit, there's one on my PVR right now. And it's
oh, is it about
me.
The nun?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is Sandra Oh, mm-hmm. the Korean-Canadian actress who's on Grey's Anatomy. She's in the UK. It's a British show. And she is chasing after a female assassin. Mm-hmm. And it's like a real cat and mouse. And they meet each other. And they know each other. But they don't. And there's things. And they keep crossing paths. And of course, the assassin is a full-on psychopath. And she's a super awesome, like, dedicated detective who's super smart and badass.
Sandra Oh is the detective, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's some... The girl... I think she's like 25 or something in the show, and she's fucking crazy. So great, so badass.
You're like the fourth person to recommend that to me. So now it's great. I got it just bite the bullet. Start watching.
And there was one other thing. There was one other thing that I was doing, like some weird murders. Oh yeah, My Favorite Murder. I'm fully engulfed in a bunch of like murder shit right now.
When you told me that you. Oh, because you were listening to the Charles Manson.
Oh, that was the other thing. Charles Manson series? Oh, my God.
And you must remember
you
this.
You must remember yeah. this. Yeah. I discovered. Because it's all about Hollywood stuff and, all the weird and scandalous stories of the last, 20th century in Hollywood. But there was one specific series, 13 episodes, just about Charles Manson. Mm. And all their shit. And then all the Hollywood connections and all, like, it's about him and what he did and what all his, like, weird Manson family did. But it also talk about Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate and all these other, what's his name? Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys and how they all fit together. And they really paint a picture for that time of living in Los Angeles in the late 60s and all this was happening. And
it's so well done.
And I took so many long drives.
One's a podcast.
Just to get through it. Yeah. So it's just audio and it's super well done. And, and besides the point, all of this content is made by women.
Yes.
Starring women, made by women, created by women.
Love it. Are you going to link all the things in the show notes?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Because yes. I'm just like mentally blank watching that. It's can't give up.
The Killing Eve is on Bravo, but it's also like if you have cable, it's on demand. I've been catching up on episodes on demand.
Who has cable?
I do.
I don't.
I'm one of the few people who has.
It's just old people.
And we have all the cable. Like we have every, we got everything.
Wow.
We're a TV house. We indulge in the television and the Netflix and the DVD or anything. But anyway, if you can find a way to watch Killing Eve, it's super well done. So that's my obsession. Victoria, do you have an obsession?
Well, you know what? I had one, but now I have two because
you remembered something.
Well, yeah, like us talking because I love crime shit. Every night I fall asleep to a crime podcast. I think I am ready to be a murderer or something like
sure.
It must be like
or a police officer
crime.
Or something. Yeah, on either side of that.
Yeah, or a police officer. Yeah, no. I realize that I am also a dark tourist. Like every time I go away, I do something weird. So recently I went to LA to shoot a TV thing. And while I was there, I was like, what can I do? And I went
to go to the Museum of Death?
Museum of Death.
Tell me everything.
Weird. Yeah. I tell you what, like I love this shit, but it was pretty intense. Basically, it's just like this place. Floor to ceiling of like pictures of like car crashes and like shrunken heads and murder scenes and it kind of doesn't make sense because it would just be like here's a dead body and oh look here's like something about a celebrity and then just down here here's a baby in formaldehyde or whatever. It's like really weird and like extreme. Anyway, and then the last time I went away, I went to see the Winchester Mystery House. Do you know about this?
Ooh. I have friends who went to it recently. Yes. Yeah.
And the story is, it was Winchester is a gun, right? It's a gun.
Yeah, it's a gun rifle family.
Yep, yeah, the gun
so
manufacturer.
The person who started Winchester Guns, I guess he died, and then the widow thought that all the people who died by the gun was coming to haunt her in the house because she had tons of money. And so she made this bananas house. She just, for like 20 years, constantly there was construction in the house. And so she'd have stairs going up to nowhere and like trap doors and all sorts of stuff. And anyway, you can go see it.
Wow.
So anyway, with this.
There's an episode of My Favorite Murder that they talk about it, I think.
There's
a few podcasts that I listen to about this.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
There might be a lore episode about that.
So, yeah, I think about true crime stuff.
So you went to the house?
Yeah, I went there, yeah.
Oh, my God, cool.
I had a picture and everything. That's great. So my thing that I'm obsessed with is the true crime podcast, All Killer, No Filler. Do you know this one?
I have not, but it's in my... I have an ongoing
role. It's my number one favorite one. It's two British comedians and they talk about crime stuff, but they don't get into the gory details, which I like. They're just like, oh God, this guy's fucked, and oh, don't want to talk about that. Anyway, and they're just really funny. And the other one is, we mentioned the tourist thing and the episode, they were killing chickens because I'm a smelly vegetarian.
Mm.
My obsession is the A&W vegetarian burger.
I've heard good things.
Oh, holy shit.
I've heard good things.
I don't even like burgers, but I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll try it. And then sure. I was like,
get on my face.
Yeah, oh my God. And I had 6 burgers within like 10 days.
Ooh, yummy.
Hey, there you go.
So if you're a vegetarian and you're listening, then you need to try it out because it's like eating real animal flesh. It's amazing.
Oh, we do.
I love it.
Fantastic.
My husband was a vegetarian for quite a few years, and the A&W veggie burger was his number one go-to. I grew up in Jasper in Alberta, and we had one A&W. They did not have the veggie burger on the menu at my A&W.
Yeah, interesting.
I think they maybe when they set up the franchise, they were like, oh, there's no vegetarians.
You don't need that.
Alberta right. beef.
Yeah, exactly.
Just sit unused in the stock room.
Yeah. Not even to send you like, one box space. Of those patties.
Yeah. No, you don't get one. Is there A&W in the States?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it? Yeah, yeah. I was talking to an American friend about it because she was thinking about going vegetarian and she said that there is. Okay. But it's called the Beyond Meat Burger. There's two. There's the normal veggie one, fuck that. And then there's the Beyond Meat one, which is like
amazing. Good to know. Oh. The Beyond Meat.
And actually they've run out of them in the stores.
Huh?
Yeah, what? They're that popular.
Interesting. Because A&W bought, they have like a monopoly on the supply for Canada. So they're building a bigger factory. Yeah.
Really?
Because the demand is so high.
Yeah. And every time I was going, I was like asking the cashier about the burger. And I was like, a lot of people are having it. And they're like, oh, it's mad. And looking around, because you can see what people are eating by the color of the
paper wrapper or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was eating it. I was like, yum.
I've never tried it. I do like
you need to try something.
I will. A&W does my favorite. I do like their teen burger. Yeah.
That's my one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. Their fries are subpar.
Yeah, the fries are subpar.
Could do
better.
They could do better.
I don't
order
the fries.
They're not. Sometimes they're cold in the middle, and that's not cute.
That's not cute.
I'm not into that.
No, ma'am.
I want to burn my mouth on those fuckers.
Yeah.
I want to eat them so fast, I will burn my mouth.
Yeah.
Thanks, McDonald's.
I used to really like the White Spot burgers, like on the ferry. Their veggie burgers are pretty good.
There you go.
But I got a
BC burger
at A&W.
No, the White Spot burger is probably like a 6 out of 10. The A&W burger is probably a 11.
Really? Ooh. All right. Well, now I got
it. There you go.
So I don't like burgers, and I ate 6. So
I see.
There you go. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah. Stats.
There's facts.
Yeah.
The data.
Yeah, the data is it.
Yeah.
Your source. My source is Victoria.
Yeah.
Scientific data.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This burger is off the charts.
Oh boy.
Well,
you guys. Oh, we're coming up on an hour and a half. All right. Let's wrap it up. We can talk about Beyond Burgers another day.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming, Victoria.
Oh,
I'm very happy. After the summer happening, I'm so happy with this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing works out that we'll let everybody know about the book ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So there's no, you can just
maximize.
Get on the website.
Yes.
Get your name on the newsletter.
Yes.
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 Bampow Life.
Yes.
Is that what your name of your website is?
Bampow Life. Yeah,
Bampow Life, yeah. That's it.
There you go.
That's all you need to
easy
know.
Easy peasy.
She thought this through. This is great.
Yeah.
The book is Fierce Fatty.
Yep.
September 10th.
Yep.
On it. Get it. We are in all the places that you find us. We're on Instagram, Fashion Hags Podcast, Twitter, Fashion Hags Pod. You can Gmail us if you like, you know, want to say something or like you want to like tell us how great we are or like
tell us about something super cool.
We like that stuff. So fashionhags@gmail.com.
FashionHexPodcast.com for a recap. We'll have all the links to all the things.
All the links. Yeah, I don't say that enough, maybe. But we have there's a whole website you can find us.
Yeah, there's so much cool shit on that website of all the stuff
content.
We talk about.
Content.
Abby does these great featured images. That's like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Do we have the quote for you?
Yeah. Great.
No, I have to listen back. I was too busy talking to pay attention to the fun quote I put in the feature image. I have to listen to this fun episode.
I think that's pretty much it. Thank you so much again, Victoria.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is a joyful delight.
Mm. And
marvel.
Remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
That's right.
And now we love Victoria more.
Yeah. Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.